Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a teacher at a Christian school. Doesn't really matter where, but we're going to focus on the subject of American history and the battle over American history and what is actually taught about American history in many of our schools. Now, in this case, Reed happens to teach in a Christian school, but even in some professing Christian schools, there's a lot of nonsense that is being taught. And we welcome Reed, and thank you so much for joining us, Reed. And I know you will have your own podcast, and people can get more information about you at Indie, as in independent, INDIE, IndieThinker.org. Reed, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much, Jerry. I really appreciate you being on my podcast the other day, and it's an honor to be able to speak with you today.
Well, this is a direct outgrowth of that discussion. So I've got a question for you. Why is there any controversy about American history?
Yeah, well, what's interesting, I think, is just to give a little background with the way I'll answer this question, is my two experiences in my adult life. I'm 40 now, and I've been in full-time ministry for about the past 19 years. And so my two experiences predominantly have been with Christians within the church and then their kids within the academic realm in predominantly Christian private schools. Fortunately, I have been at really great schools that don't really suffer from kind of some of the things that we're seeing right now in our nation. But the one thing that I have noticed is that even among the Christian schools that are actually trying to promote a healthy and accurate picture of American history, is that the problem is that so many Christians are misinformed because they get their information from the news media and from things that are being, you know, vocalized in the culture. I mean, let's just be honest. Right now we're hearing our present president decry anything he disagrees with as Jim Crow. And that's an emotional thing that just pulls upon the heartstrings of people who are not well informed. And so I think that that's just simply it, is that we definitely have an issue in the public school with teachers who have been radicalized in the academy. And then even in Christian schools, what we're seeing is we're just having a lack of information and a lack of knowledge that is causing people to fall for emotional arguments. And so I could give you a million different examples of this, but I'll just say I am shocked, even in these schools that promote a healthy view of American history, how many of these children have been steeped in what they're seeing in social media and what they're seeing out in the culture, what they're seeing on the news, and even what their Christian parents are teaching them about what American history is and was. So I think it's a number of things, but I think, at least from my perspective with what I've experienced in Christian schools, is I think that some of the emotional arguments that we're hearing on the news and that we're hearing all over the place are really having an effect on people. And this is why I think we have to be vocal about promoting a healthy and honest view of what American history looks like.
Give us a shocking example.
This is, to me, very shocking. So I played a portions of a really great documentary, and I have the luxury of doing this again because I'm a Christian school teacher, called One Child Nation, and it's about the one child policy in China. And so for those who are not familiar with the one child policy, essentially it was a forced abortion program for the purposes of population control in China. So there was all sorts of propaganda forces that were implemented and employed to try to encourage people to only have a certain number of children. And again, this was for the sake of population control. And this is something that was kind of handed down by Mao Zedong so that the people could flourish. And they were told, you know, we have too many people. We're not going to continue to sustain in China with this many people, yada, yada, yada. And so all sorts of horrible atrocities took place. Women were forced to have abortions. Women were forced to hide their kids, sometimes trying to place them in open markets and stuff like that, hoping that somebody would come and grab them, and then those children would die on the streets. All sorts of things happened under this one-child policy. Needless to say, so I'm showing this to my students, And I give some extra credit to anybody who's willing to write a paper about what we saw in this documentary, what we talked about during the reign of Mao, and then afterwards in China, and this one-child policy specifically. And so I had actually a student, a great young girl, write a paper for why she is in favor of abortion at a Christian school for the sake of the feminist movement and women's rights. And so I'm looking at that, and obviously I'm not going to make the same mistake of those in the secular world. I'm not going to just criticize her and mark her down because I disagree with her standpoint, but I have to be honest. I'm shocked that a young Christian girl can watch a documentary of women being forced to have abortions in China, absolutely barbaric, unconscionable, and then still continue to believe that abortion is actually a permissible and acceptable practice. So so needless to say, to me, what it paints the picture of is the need and the necessity to be vocal about these issues. Because again, like I said, my experiences with people in the church and their kids in the school system and private school system, and we are not doing an effective job of reaching the culture. We are not doing an effective job of shaping the narrative and at least explaining the why behind why these things,
sure,
you know, that are going on in the culture need to just absolutely be pushed back again.
Sure.
And so we're just
all right. So
sitting back in churches for the most part.
So basically, you're describing a situation where people who are professing Christians do not have a biblical worldview. And then in the area of American history, that would be one prong of it, but would also include a Christian view on human sexuality, such as abortion, that kind of thing. But let's focus on American history specifically, because there's a narrative being told. I mean, anybody that's just honest with America, we look at America, we see that unfortunately there was slavery brought in. And slavery was a part of, you know, a major part of the country. The founding fathers even made a compromise whereby they allowed the slavery to exist for a while, but they also set things up so that there would be the termination of the slave trade. In other words, no more slaves could be brought in after 1808. That's actually in the Constitution originally. It was not 1808 by name, but 20 years after this is ratified, that this trade would stop. Unfortunately, because there were already so many slaves here, and then because of the invention of the cotton gin and the need for more slavery as they understood it, there were more slaves, it didn't matter that the slave trade was stopped. I mean, it's a very important point, though. The founding fathers ended the slave trade, at least, you know, they ended it before, too long. And I think that's very, very important. But anyway, bottom line is there's no question that slavery was a part of America's past. And then after slavery was appended, you know, with the Civil War and so forth, 700,000 or so, you know, Americans who died, many, you know, almost the vast majority of whom were white, dying, and, you know, of course, the battle was over, or the war was over several different issues, states' rights being amongst the key ones. But there's no question that the catalyst issue that drove the emotions, that drove everything, was slavery. So by God's grace, slavery gets upended. Then, you know, unfortunately, in the Deep South, you have the rise of the Jim Crow laws, and you have, quote-unquote, separate but equal, but basically blacks were effectively second-class citizens. No doubt about it. And, you know, and then, but much of this changes in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And now here we are today, in the second decade of the 21st century, all these positive changes that have been made. And you have people out there talking as if America is just as racist today as it was in the days of full blown slavery. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, what are these people smoking? I don't get it.
Yeah, the reason I shared that story about China, although it doesn't have to do with American history, what it does do is it illustrates the point, I think, that people are falling for emotional arguments right now. There's no doubt that slavery in America is one of the darkest portions of America's history, but we are being told today that that is America's history, not an aspect of America's history. And it's just absolutely a lie. Anybody will tell you that slavery is one of the worst. Anybody, a good person, would tell you it's one of the worst parts of our past. But it's also something, if you want to be honest and really look at the story and compare our nation to other nations, we implemented slavery and then withdrew from slavery faster than any other nation in the world. And so to me, that's a credit to what America is, what it was founded on, which is not 1619 slavery. It was founded on good, solid, virtuous principles, some of which that came from the scripture, from good, godly people who desired to make a great free nation. And so I just think that we're hearing a side of the story that's being promoted. And I'll just go ahead and say maybe this is a little bit hyperbole, but we're falling for propaganda techniques in modern America, rather than thinking for ourselves. And that's honestly why I started Indie Thinker, is because we need to start thinking for ourselves. If never before, we know now the media is absolutely in the bag for the left side of the aisle, and we're not going to hear honest and good information from legacy media. And we have to look for information other places, or else we're going to fall for these false narratives, these lies about what America is and was, that are based upon an emotional appeal rather than facts.
You know, it's interesting. I'm almost reminded of, I think it was George W. Bush said that, you know, when he was president, of course, the media just totally excoriated him. He was compared to Hitler. He was going, you know, whatever. It was just terrible. And I think he once said in jest, boy, if I believe what the media said about me, I'd hate me too. You know, something like that.
Yeah,
but right. It's really, there's a truth to that, in the sense that, you know, many Americans hate America because of what they've been taught about America, as if this, you know, racism and the slavery or whatever is what defines us. Bob Woodson of the Woodson Center, who's a black civil rights leader and so forth, he said, you know, for the 1619 Project to come along, essentially what they're trying to do is define America by the worst of its birth defects. No person, especially somebody who's made strides and improvements in life, no person should be defined by the worst of what they used to be. And that's exactly what the left is doing. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think what they're trying to do is essentially tear down America as founded and then build up a Marxist so-called utopian, which doesn't exist.
Well,
and
if I may interject, yeah, too, I think the other thing is, when you hear things like racism is America's original sin, and then you hear people like Nancy Pelosi stand up and say, thank you, George Floyd, for dying for us so that we could achieve real justice in America, they're also using religious language, and they're using it effectively, in my opinion. So I think this is another reason Christians need to kind of perk their ears up and pay attention to what's happening, because this is not just a battle for society. This is not just a battle for patriotism. This is a battle for the hearts and minds of young people, and for adults, for Christians, and for the stories that we tell ourselves. The story that we used to tell ourselves is that America, yes, has flaws. And this was the story of Martin Luther King Jr. This America has flaws, but it does also have a check that it's due, that was signed at the Declaration of Independence, when we wrote our Constitution.
Yeah.
And there's a promissory note.
Yeah.
And all America has to do is make good on those promises, and it will be the great nation that it was created to be. So that used to be the story that we're telling ourselves, but now there's a different story that
10 seconds
we're supposed
left.
To tell ourselves.
Uh-huh. 10 seconds left. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'll just say it's so important that we stay informed, and that we become more than just people who parrot what the mainstream media says, and that we become as informed as possible as we can about history.
Mm, amen. Reed Uberman, indiethinker.org. Thank you, Reed. All the best.
Hey, thanks so much, Jerry. Appreciate
sure.
it.